The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to talk over the next few minutes about the reality of kind of business between our two countries, between Ireland and Canada. And with me to have the conversation is Gemma Healy-Murphy, who's a partner in litigation and dispute resolution at Macmillan LLP here in Toronto. Craig Soman, who is the partner and co-head of restructuring and insolvency at Adelshaw Goddard Ireland. And Michael Barton, regional director of Canada for Invest Northern Ireland and a board member of the Ireland-Canada Chamber of Commerce. You're all very welcome. Thanks a million for joining us here in the pub. Bit early to be in the bar. Just coffees, I assure people listening at home at this hour of the day. Michael, can I start with you, maybe kind of from the Chamber of Commerce point of view, if you could paint a picture of us, for us rather, of the nature of that kind of transatlantic relationship between the two countries.
Yeah, absolutely. The Chamber is made up of about 50 private sector companies and then the state agencies as well. So we have the IDA, Enterprise Ireland, Invest Northern Ireland, and it's really just a conduit to make those connections for Irish businesses north and south coming into Toronto, getting access to Canadian opportunities. We host a number of events throughout the year, networking, educational learning, and then also things like this where we'll support inbound trade missions. So they'll work with Enterprise Ireland if they're bringing a minister in, they'll work with us if we're bringing folks in from the north, and they're obviously working with the Gateway to Ireland groups. It's a great platform to have in the city.
And how much, even if we just go back, say, before last November and everything kind of got thrown up in the air, how much had that relationship been growing over kind of the last 5 or 10, 15 years?
Yeah, it's grown exponentially, I would say, over the last, probably the last 10 years. The connection, the Irish in the city, there's always been Irish in the city. I'm sure you'll find that as you walk around, there's a huge Irish connection here. 4 million people in Canada have Irish diaspora, so heritage to Ireland. But I'd say over the last 10, 15 years, there's been a huge influx of young Irish that are now in professional roles, that are in business. So I think the Chamber's become a really important part of that sort of patchwork quilt of connecting both, you know, with the Canadian companies, with the Irish companies from all over the island as well, which is really good to see. And there's a number of Irish companies that have offices here now as well. So Kainos from Belfast, Swoop from Dublin, really building sort of a foothold here and using this. It was a gateway to all of North America. I'm sure it still is, but really it's an opportunity to sort of utilise this really great sort of platform that Toronto gives you.
And is the message in Canada, is it the same as the message that we're used to hearing kind of when Ireland Inc. Is pitching itself at the United States? You know what I mean? Kind of the common language, a foothold in Europe, kind of free trade from that point with every other member state?
Yeah, I think like it's the Canadian, it's probably a bit of nuance to the Canadian-Irish relationship that wouldn't be different for the US, but definitely like to Canadians, Ireland is the gateway to Europe. English, very common legal system. I think, you know, the North-South collaboration, Belfast-Dublin corridor, huge opportunities for Canadian operations to take advantage of that and use that now to diversify. Trade diversification has been a big thing for Canadian companies for a long time, but now they're really being forced to think about it a lot more deeper due to the activities of the administration in the South and the US at the minute.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that kind of 32 county picture as well and that kind of collaboration in a moment. But Gemma, I've asked people maybe a few times to kind of set aside everything that's happened in the last few months. Let's not completely set aside everything. So, I mean, from your point of view or from a Canadian kind of a business point of view, I mean, how tumultuous have the last 3 months been?
Well, I think they've been quite tumultuous, and there's been a lot of obvious uncertainty, not just within the business community, but within the general public here as well, and a lot of dissatisfaction at certain of the decisions being made by the current US administration. And so I think what we're seeing here in the business community is, you know, taking a broader look and maybe a reinvigorated interest at really developing the trade with other countries and markets in lieu of looking directly at our neighbor to the south. And and I think from the public's perspective, there's a real, and something I think that is very strong in Ireland, there's a real sense of loyalty and courage in the face of adversity, you know, and uncertainty from the decisions that are being made down south. So, and there's a real strong shop local, buy local, vacation local, and I think there's even an uptick in the sale of Canadian flags. So it's so I think that there is, you know, there's uncertainty, but out of that has arisen courage and not fear.
So yeah, maybe because you this has been home for you for what, 12 or 14 years now.
Right.
So you're here quite a time. setting aside all the kind of the corporate work and all of that, maybe just within your own community and your own groups, talk to me a little bit about how people have kind of dealt with everything that's been talked about. Even today, I know that Mark Carney is meant to be meeting Donald Trump, and in advance he's been talking about kind of the 51st state again. He's not ruling out military intervention in Greenland, 100% tariffs on any kind of movie or TV show shot outside the United States. Obviously, that's a massive industry here in Toronto. So again, we'll set aside the kind of the commercial realities. Just from on the street, what do people say?
Well, I mean, the most obvious and most common theme amongst my friends and people I'm meeting on the street are, you know, there's a real lack of interest of visiting the US right now. Where we'd normally go for weekends or a border shop, it cross over the border for a night or two, there's a real lack of interest in doing that right now. And I think it's really, at least amongst my friend group, increased our loyalty, you know, and really kind of embedded our sense of patriotism for Canada in a way that we also would have for Ireland. And so I think it's, yeah, I think it's just given everyone a stronger cultural and loyalty ties, cultural ties and loyalty for living here and being somewhat, you know, living in the shadow of the US, like maybe in Ireland is, you know, there are many parallels that can be drawn between how Canada has been impacted by its global power to the south in the way that Ireland has been impacted by the UK. And so I think that there are just so many similarities that this isn't new to us. And so I don't think there's not any hysteria or anything like that. There's just a renewed sense of loyalty.
Canadians don't do hysteria, do they?
No, they don't. They don't. Typically, they don't.
Craig, how have you seen then the kind of the uncertainty that now prevails in terms of the transatlantic trade and tariffs and everything else? How does that manifest for you guys?
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, as Gemma explained there, I mean, Canada's response has been firm and rapid, okay? And they've got good reason for that. Ireland's position is slightly different, obviously, being a member of the EU. In essence, our policy is going to be EU policy ultimately. So there's been quite a lot of focus on trying to influence Brussels about taking a more considered and measured approach. We're a small island economy. Obviously, the US market is hugely important to us. But all of that is taking time and it's driving uncertainty. And uncertainty, any transactional lawyer will tell you, uncertainty is really impactful in a bad way for transactions. And I've seen it personally in my own practice. I've been involved in two cases recently, one a sale of a business, of a distressed business, and another in an equity investment, where in a sector that relies quite heavily on its US exports. And those sales have stalled and that investment has stalled at the last minute, literally, because of tweets that were coming out of the White House on tariffs and on potential percentage of tariffs. And so, like, phone calls were stalled. We need to take, you know, consider these tweets, etc. And it's just the flip-flopping, you know, of tariffs and what. So, in some respects, it's almost understandable that these transactions are stalling. And investors need to know what it is they're investing in. What impact does it have on the business going forward? So until we get that certainty, it really is, you know, there's quite a few bumps in the road for Irish businesses. But one thing I will say is Irish business has proven itself to be very resilient. I mean, you know, the financial crisis, COVID, Brexit, you know, you name it, we've met it. And I think, you know, once we get that bit of certainty in the market again, I think, you know, I'm confident that we will meet the challenge again. But we need that certainty.
And is there a prevailing view as to when that certainty might manifest itself? You know, there may be the narrative kind of emerged when the bond markets began to spiral in the wrong direction, that Donald Trump was effectively going to kind of slowly reverse out of the entire tariff policy, you know what I mean? And the 90-day extension of the lower tariffs, that would kind of come and go without much fanfare. Is that the prevailing view, or is that a triumph of hope over expectation?
Do you know, it's so difficult to know. It really is. I mean, I don't think any of us have experienced anything like this. And I mentioned flip-flopping, but that's what it is. So, you know, there's reaction to bond markets, absolutely. And, you know, it was felt that was put a bit of a stop to Trump's gallop maybe on the tariffs. But actually nobody really knows at the moment which way it's going to go. And that just brings me back to the point that, that we do need that certainty. But I'm afraid I don't have a crystal ball and I don't know when that's going to be. But it is really important that Irish businesses diversify, both in terms of their supply chain and also their export markets. And I'm acutely aware that's really simple for an advisor like me to say to my clients. But in reality, that doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time, and it's difficult. But, you know, if you do try to diversify into markets like Canada, I think that's why it's so important that we're here. And the timing, you know, you've heard this is not, you know, this is not related to the tariffs, the timing, but it is fortuitous that we are here now. And I think there's great opportunity for Ireland to do more with Canada and Canada to do more with Ireland. There is lots being done already, as Michael has already talked about. But I've no doubt there's plenty more that we can do, and that's a really good opportunity for us.
And Gemma, I take it that's partly kind of the selling point, is you can look to that relationship between, well, the United States and almost anywhere else in the world at the moment and say, listen, uncertainty prevails there. No business is going to make a decision with that kind of degree of uncertainty looming over it. What we can offer from a Canada-Ireland point of view is the opposite.
Yeah, and I think that... similar to what Craig is saying, and Michael as well, there has been such over the last number of years, particularly I think 8 years, when you're looking at CETA, which was provisionally put into force in 2017, and in around the wake of Brexit as well, and CETA being the Canada-EU trade agreement, as you well know, you know, that really was an impetus in increasing the trade between Canada and Ireland, in that it removed 98% of tariffs between, as one example, between Canada and Ireland. And so that has really, you know, the benefits of that agreement are immeasurable between Ireland and Canada and the EU generally. And I think it's step by step, right, that the focus has been, and I think a new focus of CETA now, when it'll be hopefully ratified in Ireland this year. We had Minister Timmy Doody visit us in March, and he was sharing with us that was the hope that for this year within the government. But I think the next step is, you know, there's such skilled labour in Ireland as well, and the ability to transfer that to Canada and have mutual recognition of qualifications. That's, you know, something that needs to be given a fresh look now, and to make it easier for businesses who may wish to want to have, you know, some of their folks working here as well, to really gain a presence here, because, you know, there is nothing like, you know, having a person here to shake a hand and see the white of someone's eye. And so I think they're, you know, the benefits of CETA haven't been fully explored or yet, and there's a lot more to come.
All right. Well, listen, thanks a million, folks, for coming in and joining us here in our makeshift studio in PJ O'Brien's.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.